Yesterday I recorded this segment where I was talking about why people smoke. There was a whole area I wasn't able to get into because of time constraints. The areas that I were covering is how people smoke more while under stress and explain the urine acidity effect. And I also explained how that tied into why people smoke more when they drink. There was another area that I didn't get into, though, which was basically why people, they're afraid of quitting because they believe smoking is essential to do many just day-to-day routines. And some of this has nothing to do with urine acidity. Some of this has nothing to do with accelerated excretion rates of nicotine. Some, it just has to do with the activities take too long. Certain activities have certain time frames to them that are pretty much going to initiate a withdrawal process if people have to do the activity straight through without being able to smoke. One of the most universal behaviors in the past, it's no longer a universal behavior, but in the past that I used to use as an example, is how people react to a telephone when they were smokers going back 15, 20, 30 years ago. And there is a difference now over where it was then, and I'll explain what that difference was in a few minutes. First, go back 15 or 20 years when I would ask a group, how many people in this room, if there's 20 or 30 people in the room, have ever noticed that if your phone is off in like this direction and your cigarettes are off in the other direction and the telephone rang, how many people in this room didn't necessarily run toward the phone, but literally ran the opposite direction to get their cigarettes? It was amazing how many people had this particular behavior. Well, what's funny about it is they never knew anyone else had that behavior. They knew they had it. They knew it was normal for them, and they never really learned it by watching other people do it because they never knew other people did it. They were amazed that I knew they had this particular behavior. There's a reason why that behavior was founded, though, in those individuals, why it became part of their persona and how they reacted to a phone ringing. One day, the telephone rang, and these people had just smoked a cigarette. They felt fine. Well, they had plenty of nicotine in them. They just smoked. There was no need to smoke a cigarette at that point. The phone rang, and they went to do what they thought was the logical thing to do, to go answer the phone. Well, there's a problem on the other end of the phone, and the problem was the person who was on that call was long-winded. They started to talk and talk and talk. They went a half an hour. There was no sign that they were going to shut up. They kept on going. They went another half hour. Pretty soon, the smoker now has a problem. Their nicotine level has dropped, and they either have to hang up that call and just say, I can't talk anymore, or they stayed in the conversation until it ended. But as soon as it ended, they made a mad dash for their cigarettes. Now, they get 10 or 20 calls like that. It may have taken a number of months early in their smoking careers, but once they had a number of calls like that, pretty soon they learned, don't do that anymore. When that telephone rings, run for your cigarettes. That became a conditioned response. It's the same thing that would happen if you ring a bell whenever you feed a dog. Ring the bell one day and don't have food present, and you got a dog drooling on your foot. They were expecting food and didn't get it. Well, the same thing happens with the telephone and smokers. I'd literally call people from my clinics. I would call them the first and second day after they joined the clinic in the evening. The next morning, I'd be calling them. And they never knew they were getting these calls. It was funny because sometimes, literally, what happened when I would ring the phone, the person would answer the phone after a few rings and literally be just tongue-tied and say something to the effect like, I just quit smoking, I can't talk, gotta hang up. And they hang up the phone, not asking who it is, not asking what it's about. It was like they knew they were supposed to answer the phone, they didn't know what to do next, and they panicked. It was because cigarettes became such a part of their routine, they knew, again, the first step, but they didn't know how to proceed after that. Quitting smoking really is a learning process of doing all the things that you did as a smoker just without taking a cigarette. And pretty soon that kind of thing won't happen. But it really is disorienting in the beginning where you do have cigarettes so tied into these rituals that you feel like I can never do these again. You can't. Everything you did as a smoker, you can do as an ex-smoker. You have to learn how. And the way you learn how is by doing the activity without taking a cigarette. I said in the past this was universal behavior, and now people don't have that same kind of association. Well, there were two things that changed, that altered it. One was, and probably the biggest one, was the invention of the cordless phone. It used to be people were tethered to a phone. They couldn't get very far from it, so if they all of a sudden needed a cigarette and there weren't cigarettes around, they had a problem. They had to hang up the phone to get to a cigarette. I had a few people in the past who, when I would ask that question about, do they run for cigarettes when a phone rings, would say, no, they never did that. They never knew they had an association. These were the smartest people in the clinic. hands down, they were the smartest. Because you know what they did? They put a package of cigarettes, a lighter, by every phone in their house. So they just learned, you know, don't get caught in a situation where you don't have cigarettes. The other people never figured this out, but they did. So they didn't have an association, because instead of having to go into whatever, you know, being in a panic state because they can't smoke, they had it built into their day-to-day routine that cigarettes were there. The other thing that changed was caller ID. That was a major change technology-wise for affecting smokers. See, one of the reasons I would always ask people why they smoke more when they're on the phone, they would come up with reasons, but the reasons would never exactly work. It wouldn't cover all occasions. Some people say, well, you know, I kind of like to sit and relax on the phone with a cigarette. You know, it's kind of a social, enjoyable thing. Hey, this may not be a social or enjoyable phone call. This might be someone calling about a death in the family. This isn't going to be a fun, you know, situation they're in. Well, some people would say, even before I would say that, well, no, they have to smoke because it might be a stressful phone call. You know, there might be something going on here that's going to, you know, really make them nervous that they're going to have to smoke during. Hey, you don't know it's going to be a stressful phone call when it's ringing. This might be a wrong number. The problem in the past when a phone was ringing is you didn't know who it was going to be. And more significantly, you didn't know how long the call was going to be. You know, certain people you know are long-winded. Now with caller ID, if you see them, and for some reason there's no cigarettes around, well, you know, okay, just go get cigarettes before you even take on this call. Although, again, with the cordless phone, you could probably walk to the cigarettes and get them. But in the past, where the technology didn't support this kind of behavior that you can go anywhere without a problem, get a cigarette, and nobody in the background would even know what was going on, this was a much more complicated process and became part of the smoking ritual. But again, bottom line is, the phone is just one example. It comes to everything a person does. It's crucial that they recognize this. Everything they do as a smoker, they can do as an ex-smoker. They have to learn how. And the way they learn how is by facing every ritual that they have day to day. And then the abnormal things that happen that aren't daily routines, but just things that happen on an occasional or sporadic basis, to face every one of these situations with their commitment still intact to just never take another puff.